Good morning. Today is Friday, January the 19th. Joining us this morning is our Arcata City Manager, Karen Diemer.
Good morning, Brian.
How are you doing?
I am doing good. I'm Friday and was not downpour when I walked in here. So, good.
Just don't hold your breath about the hail, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, too much fun. Too much fun. What? Now that we seems as if we're into the normal winter pattern, what do you guys do this time of the year? Is it all budget?
This starts our budget. Yep. So the council actually kicked off budget with our capital improvement program review of all the major projects that were slated for, you know, either this year or multi-year. So they reviewed everything that we accomplished this or will finish this fiscal year and looked at the multi-year projects so that they can start thinking about priority projects that they would like to consider as we start talking about budget. They will then go into goal setting, so they'll just have a general talk with the community about goals for the next fiscal year, February 15th and 16th. And then from that set of goals, staff will develop budget to support that set of goals and then bring that budget back for the council's consideration, typically in early May, and then they adopt the budget in June.
And all the while you're back there with your adding machine.
That's right.
Grind, grind,
click,
grind,
click, 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 click. Yeah.
Grind, grind, grind. Yeah, okay. The community input, is that just a checkoff on the list? Or the PC, the feel-good thing? Reason I ask is there's so much momentum and inertia going in certain directions from one year to the next. There's probably not a significant, okay, we got to change direction, shift 90 degrees, and go over here.
Sure.
So is it just kind of like an opportunity for folks to come in and to share, but the direction is pretty well set?
I would estimate, and this is just off the top of my head, that there's probably 80% of our budget that is fairly regulated from year to year, you know, whether it's, you know, requirements for our water and sewer system or policing levels or, you know, there's a good chunk of it that doesn't change.
Existing contracts or restrictions from the funding sources?
From funding sources or just from regulations. So certain things that we need to do to manage, say, stormwater, water that comes off the roads, you know, that might have contaminants from cars or gas or rooftops, et cetera. So there's a lot of regulations that...
Rooftop
contamination. That's going to be our new term.
do we normally identify that associated with bird?
No.
Okay.
We just look at all. We are now regulated basically on all what's called impervious surface. Anywhere that the rain can't absorb in, we need to look at where all of that water goes. You know? That's the biggest area of new regulation that's really taken a toll on local government budget.
Water?
Stormwater in particular, yeah. And especially being right on the edge of Humble Bay. You know, all of that water, if it doesn't soak into the ground where it lands, ultimately makes its way into the creeks and makes its way into Humble Bay.
So is that, it's got to be statewide.
It can't be absolutely.
Just local.
No, statewide.
Our water always grades out so high, other than the marijuana grows. Slam dunk, I would think.
Well,
to hit
and
most
the historic
of
agriculture uses as well. I mean, you know, we do have areas of high.
We cow?
You know. Mm-hmm.
Just as we had bird, we have cow.
Yeah,
too.
Right,
what a stunner, huh? Dairy area, we've got cow.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there is a portion of the city's budget that certainly is also discretionary to the council. So, you know, questions of, you know, I say we could renovate about one neighborhood park a year. So which park to choose each year? You know, we've got a list of probably 8 that still need to be redone, which is most deteriorated, which neighborhood has the most young kids in it that year. You know, so they make some of those types of decisions.
Or the most people showing up for the meeting.
Or the most people, yeah.
So you
kind of
give direction.
Yeah, have the community organized around a particular project that then becomes a priority.
So for that, would you have a list of here are the parks,
mm-hmm.
here are the 8 remaining,
mm-hmm.
choose one.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of give direction on the conversation instead of just
we do.
Open mic and, you know, I think, and you have everybody
yeah.
saying how much they think and what
yeah.
you should be doing.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes we joke that Arcata is the city by committee. Because we have, I think, 13 committees in task force right now. So each of those
all full.
We are recruiting for right now. I know we're recruiting for open space and ag and economic development committee, and I think transportation safety committee. All 3 of those have members, at least one vacancy that we need to fill. But for the most part, the committees are fairly full. So each of those committees in January, prior to the goal setting in February, will come up with a list of suggestions and things of interest that they have heard over the course of the year in their meetings from the public as well. So it's not like public input is a one-stop shop in Arcata. You can only come one day a year. You know, we have multiple options for people to give input. And then those committees carry forth, after discussion, priorities that they think the council should consider as well.
So this is in addition to the committee recommendations?
Yeah. Yeah. So this year, you know, the council formed the Public Safety Task Force. And their report, their full annual year of works report, will go to the council at our first meeting, which would be on February 6th. The first meeting in February 7th, if this is 2018. Yep.
See the big red number there?
Yeah, the 8 on the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brian got a new calendar for everyone listening here, and he's keeping us up to date. Thanks to Farmers Insurance.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to go that far, you may as well say the family name at least.
Yeah, it's Linda Sundberg. Farmer Insurance is our calendar here in the office today. So the council meeting, the first one in February, on February 7th. They will receive a report from the Public Safety Task Force. And I know that will have lots of recommendations in it as well for some short-term public safety improvements that could be made.
So not overall or overhaul systems, it's fine-tuning stuff that you're looking for.
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise, you know, you'd be in, it could be like the general plan. Over and over.
No,
and
no,
over
no.
And
no,
over.
No. We don't want
KINS
that.
KINS News Time. It's 8:09.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long, on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Karen, the projects that were completed this year.
Mm-hmm. We had a few big ones.
Okay. Were they executed to what you were hoping for?
Yeah.
To have them done is one thing. To have them done the way that was envisioned, it sometimes is different.
Yeah, no, we had a couple of major construction projects, the Humboldt Bay Trail North being the largest, with the bridge structures associated with that, and working between the highway and the bay, and there wasn't a lot of space to work within, very sensitive habitat area, and to build, a road as a trail between Samoa Boulevard and down to almost Bray Cut. I heard somebody the other day, which made me laugh, called it, the trail to Two Rock, because at the end of the trail right now, it literally are these two rocks. But it will go through to Eureka. We're all very confident that that trail will connect at some point here in the next several years. But so that was a significant project that I think really came out better than even as great as we thought it would be. I mean, the receiving of that trail in this community, and still every single day the calls that we're receiving about the people that are using the trail and the access for kids learning how to ride bikes and seniors and people with, mobility disabilities that are out on the trail. It starts for Arcata. It starts at the skateboard park up on Sunset. And it winds all the way through town now and then crosses Samoa Boulevard and then goes out to almost Bray Cut. But that new section that winds through the marsh and out along the highway along the bay.
I'm hoping kids aren't being taught how to ride their bikes along the highway.
Plenty of
there
safe space.
There's so many
space.
Other places. Yeah,
you'd be surprised. I mean, I think people really
struggle. School parking lots?
School parking lots are one, but you go round and round and round. You get a little bit bored.
If a 5-year-old learning how to ride a bike wants to go on a 5-mile ride,
We actually,
we'll worry about that one next week.
We actually went out on the trail Christmas afternoon this year, so we got to see kids with their brand new bikes, already knew how to ride, but very excited to head on the trail, as well as some kids with some kind of skateboards and hoverboards and, you know, all things wheels were heading out to the trail, which was fun. But we also had a major reconstruction and paving project of Buttermilk Lane. That's a pretty large size paving project for Arcata, and I guess a success in that project is that we were able to plan it in such a way that we actually went in and did all the water and sewer work first and then paved over the top. And then South 8th Street. So those were kind of our major paving projects. The city has a tax measure. We were talking offline a little bit about tax measures, Measure G, and that funds our paving and then extra police. And we also did quite a bit of in-house paving this year with city staff, maintenance paving of a number of streets with Measure G money. So it was nice to have the asphalt plant up and working a little bit more this year than it had been in past years and to be able to get those projects done. On the police side, we outfitted all of our officers with body-worn cameras. And those are all up and operational as of...
Is that going to save insurance monies and lawsuits?
We'll see over time. You know, the initial studies that are coming out on body-worn cameras are they increase officer safety. So the interaction of being on camera is both ways, you know, both a potential suspect or somebody that, you know, they're having an interaction with as well as the officer.
Bringing somebody into norm instead of just fainting and flailing.
The recognition that the transaction is being taped, you know, does seem the initial is that it's reducing the number of physical interactions between officers and potential suspects. Now, we don't have data
physical
yet here.
Physical interaction? You mean
like resisting
them.
Arrest or, yeah, okay. Yeah, you know, yeah.
Yeah, don't use a heavy, long words. I get lost.
No, you don't. Nor do your listeners.
Okay, fine.
And then we did Greenview Park, which I think we've talked about on the show before, and it really is the first all-inclusive playground designed for kids of all abilities. So instead of having the chips that we see often in the North Coast as sort of the base material, it actually has a poured-in-place rubber, which makes it easier for walkers or wheelchairs to be able to access the equipment. There are, you know, there's
could you
like
put trails through with that? Because I know the chips often have been donated, so that it was an opportunity to have something instead of mud.
Yeah.
Rather than having to do something that was a permanent. But nobody's going to be donating that.
Right, because it's expensive. I mean, it typically about doubles the cost of your playground. You could put pathways. You know, what we have found is that they then just get full of chips. The chips go everywhere, so they end up covering the pathways. And, you know, even if we put, say, a concrete sidewalk, which you could do too, probably cheaper than the poured-in-place rubber.
Yeah, but then you'd need all those little yellow bumpy things.
Right.
Those, yeah.
Truncated domes for the sophisticated listeners.
Is that what they're called?
They're called truncated
domes.
Oh,
I call them egg breakers.
Yeah, trip hazards.
I figure that's why
leave
it's
the grocery store. Yeah,
yeah, either that or something to get the soda pops. All to explode at the same time when you open them up. I'm a conspiracy theorist on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't put anything on the bottom of your shopping cart if you want it to be there.
Yeah, be intact. Yeah.
Yes, I've experienced those out of the grocery store.
Oh, you have. Oh boy. You'd alluded to a couple multi-year projects.
Yeah.
What would they be?
Yeah, so this year we finished up the planning and design for Old Arcata Road. And then our other major project is our wastewater treatment plan. So that'll still be another year in the planning, and then we'll start implementation of complete rehabilitation of the plant.
So Old Arcata Road from the cutoff into town?
Yep, from the cutoff into the roundabout.
Ah. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? through the Decade of Difference initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer. Jogger. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Lolita Cheese, and by Redeck. You're a jogger, huh?
Weekend jogger, anyway.
Okay. Your knees are holding out.
Yeah, they hurt, but nothing a couple of ibuprofen don't take care of.
I see. Okay. Interesting stuff. Hey, how's with the price of marijuana plummeting as it has? I've heard some really intriguing stories, more south of Eureka than north of Eureka, about property values, about projects that have been put on hold, about a really significant change of the landscape that wasn't anticipated at this time. Is that impacting? I presume the reality is the same north of Eureka as it is south of Eureka.
Sure.
Is that changing any of the dynamics of what the city was experiencing, let's say, 4 or 5 months ago in preparation for legalization?
We haven't seen the change in Arcata, but again, we have focused on small niche manufacturing and not large cultivation sites because we're in an urbanized area. So, you know, I'll say for the last year, we have just seen slow, steady growth. When January 1st came around, you know, or I'll say December 15th, the council enacted or added non-medical a provision for non-medical licenses for those that had medical licenses in Arcata. Basically, if you were in a zone and had a manufacturing permit for medical, that you could come in and apply for a non-medical to be in active in the
same
new market
setting.
Yeah, so the same business. So we've seen, you know, I'd say I've probably signed 20-25 non-medical permits. Vast majority of those are just single manufacturing permits. We put into place.
What does single manufacturing mean?
Well, the state has a number of different types of licenses. So you need a license if you're going to cultivate, manufacture, transport, distribute, sell. You know, so there's different types of licenses you can get. And I think when the original legislation was talked about several years ago coming out of Sacramento, they did not want to see a lot of vertical integration. They really wanted to see breaks in the chain to help with compliance, similar to what you do with distribution of alcohol and tobacco. You know,
arm's length.
Kind of modeled off of that, yeah. We're starting to see some of that come back together as the state recognizes that to be able to control their source, manufacturers also like to have either their own cultivation or close relationships with cultivators, you know, to carry product that they think meets their standard. But, you know, regardless of that, I think the city has just seen slow, steady growth in terms of businesses that are getting off their feet to create lotions or edibles or repackage or, you know, the types of small industries that they're doing in Arcata. We had two dispensaries coming into the non-medical or some call recreational cannabis era of January 1st. One of those has received all of their state licenses. The other one is currently working on licenses, but I suspect should be up and running within the next month or two anyway.
Is there zoning for this stuff?
There is, yeah. Zoning is how local governments really have the regulatory control over where you want to see what activity. So Arcata went in and created actually what we called at the time Medical Marijuana Innovation Zone. It's now been renamed just Cannabis Innovation Zone. But it is an area along West End Road that is specifically zoned to allow the cultivation manufacturing of cannabis. We don't have retail sales in that zone right now, so that's something that the council might consider.
Is just
selling.
Retail just anywhere?
Yeah. So right now, in essence, there's a prohibition on retail with the exception of the two dispensaries that we have, if they can both get clearance to sell. One has and one is in the process of it. And then the city is actively taking input right now on retail sales. of cannabis throughout the whole city. So we had a study session specific to the plaza a couple of weeks ago. And one of the stations, we had about 10 stations for the public just to go around and give direct input on specific topics. Cannabis was a popular one in terms of, you know, really specific questions. How many retail cannabis stores would you like to see on the plaza? How many would you like to see on any one block? And I'd say we had really split decisions between zero to as many as, you know, are interested. But I think everybody felt comfortable around maybe one, maybe up to two per block, and then some overall cap within the downtown area. But we need more input on that.
The drug-free zone, is that rolled into this also?
Through the state law. So there are prohibitions of certain areas already. Yeah. So we create these bubble maps that say, you know, there won't be any cannabis in all of these areas. Now let's look at the remaining areas that are already zoned for retail, period. Because we're not just going to go allow cannabis sales where you wouldn't allow clothing sales, right? So within the retail zones, now what further restrictions do we want to see as a community and have a starting place from there?
KINS News and Information Times, 8:43. We will be back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time, 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Karen, what are you projecting for 2018? Are there any trends that you're looking at, whether it's bed tax, gas tax, income, payroll tax, OSHA costs, insurance? What are you seeing 2018 being as we're seeing and sensing nationally the economy rising significantly? How does that play out for Arcata?
Yeah. You know, typically on the North Coast, we're the last to go into the recession. We're the last to come out, has been our experience. There's no change in what we saw between 2009 to 2017. We are on the upswing. I mean, we are seeing increase in sales tax, our transaction and use tax. We are seeing increases overall in our TOT tax. I mean, you probably remember last winter was a really hard winter. We had periods of 101 close, 299 close, extensive periods of time where people couldn't.
Other than the contractor business having to stay here because they're trapped working on these places. Yeah.
Yeah, we did have that. But we are seeing upward trends in all of it, and so we continue to see that. We're also starting to see upward trends in costs of things, you know, in the cost of some of our bulk chemicals and asphalt and things like that. So,
which would make sense with some of the stuff we've had on the coast with the fires.
Mm-hmm.
Are you building in a buffer for those projects that require wood and metal and petroleum and all those things that Santa Rosa's needing, that LA's going to be needing? We're not going to have more supply all of a sudden.
Right, a financial buffer, but more than anything, we're planning in a time buffer. There's going to be projects that just take more time to be able to get the supplies that we need to here on the North Coast.
Well, because a lot of the guys are down there doing it, too. So you don't have as many to choose from.
Yeah.
So what does that look like then? Just longer timelines? 12 months becomes 18 months, and thank you very much.
Yeah, and at this point, you know, I mean, our projects in government, as we know, take a long time anyway. So, but planning it in, it's just making sure that you're getting your materials here ahead of time. You know, make sure that everything's on the job site before you start. But we're still planning on a full year next year of capital projects. We're actively working on Redwood Park renovation. And Shea Park is on the docket for planning for next year. We acquired 19 acres along the Mad River, which is the Carlson Park expansion this year, so development of that.
Yeah, there's something going on out there. I heard a couple of big
yeah, footprints. Well, we've got the Tractor Supply Company that's under construction right now, right on Gentoli Lane. Above the flood zone, yeah, they're on the high point of the ground there. It's a really nice site. They purchased the four largest lots in the Mad River Industrial Park complex, and so that's exciting to see that under construction.
With the resurgence in the economy, is that giving you any relief with CalPERS and some of these other things that have had the, you know, the guaranteed retirement return, and with the stocks going up through the roof, is that giving you a little bit of a breather there?
We haven't seen it yet, but it should. I mean, ultimately, our premiums are dependent on the past year or past five, you know, years worth of interest.
Okay, so it's a longer horizon. It's not
so
a six-monther.
We haven't seen the savings yet, but, you know, certainly a strong economy helps be able to build buffer into retirement plans. So, no, right now the outlook on that is very grim. They had, you know, multi-years of returns that were lower than they had expected and had planned for. So we expect to still see a couple of years of significant increases in pension cost before we see the benefit of a higher economy.
It's interesting how long it will take to work through the system.
Yeah.
Even though it's gone from, what, 18 to 26,000? I mean, that's a pretty big percentage.
It's huge.
But it just takes that long for it to work through because previously it was so low.
And then on the reverse side, I mean, Jerry Brown, when he came back into office, really made significant changes in the retirement system as cost savings to the state of California and all local governments. So we are starting to see the financial savings associated with that. So as new employees come into the system, their benefit package is nothing compared to what the outgoing employees that have been in the system right now are receiving.
Is that the same at the state level?
State level as well, yeah. Yeah, pension reform affected everyone equally. And local governments didn't even have a choice, you know, in terms of choosing a higher premium.
Yeah, I think it was
option.
Do one to others.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
I don't think you got the second half of that phrase, yeah.
But now, you know, we're 5 years into it, and we're starting to see the real cost savings that will come back to local governments as that moves through the system.
Geez, now just imagine if he put a hiring freeze on like others have had to do for a while. Oh, well. My dream, not
Good
yours.
Good to see you this
Thanks.
Morning.
See everybody on Monday.